Well, last Sunday morning, if you were with us, we looked at the first half of the fifth petition where Jesus teaches us, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. And we said that forgiveness is a very central theme of the Bible. And not only is it central in the Bible, but it's central in our lives as well. And I wonder if you realize, friends, that that God's glory, the glory of God, the glory of the triune God is manifested, is seen, it's made known through the forgiveness of sinners through the Lord Jesus. It's the reason why in Revelation chapter 6, you might be familiar with that chapter, but Revelation chapter 6, John the Apostle, he sees this great vision. You remember the vision? It's a multitude of people. People from every nation, tribe, and tongue, and they're standing before the throne. And do you remember what they're doing? They're singing this great anthem, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. They're singing a song of forgiveness. God's glory is made manifest through the forgiveness of sinners. This is the wonderful reality of the Christian faith and a wonderful theme of the Bible. And friend, when you and I, when we receive God's forgiveness through the gospel, there's a massive implication on your life. A massive implication on your life. We receive God's forgiveness through the gospel, and here's the implication on your life. It leads us to live lives where we extend forgiveness to others, and it's all for the glory of God. We're thinking about the second half of the petition this evening, as we forgive our debtors. So last Sunday morning, we looked at the vertical emphasis, right? Forgive us our debts. And when we understand that, when God is at work in our hearts, when the gospel transforms us and changes us, it leads us to this horizontal forgiveness, where we extend forgiveness to others. And you realize that this is a very practical petition, because you know this by way of experience, that you and I are relational beings, and I don't have to convince you, my friend. You know that relationships are difficult. Relationships are hard. We're surrounded by relationships, whether workmates, family relationships, strangers on the tube, and you know that relationships are difficult. They're hard. That not only do we sin against other people, but you realize this, that people sin against us. And so you and I, we need to learn forgiveness. One Christian counselor put it like this, forgiveness is powerful, it's transformative even, and yet it can be complex and slippery. Forgiveness is central, and yet it's really hard to do. And it's the reason why, if you remember last Sunday, we reminded ourselves of that great C.S. Lewis quote where Lewis says, forgiveness, it's a lovely idea. It's amazing, it's a lovely idea, until you have to forgive someone. And he goes on to say in Mere Christianity, in his chapter on forgiveness, he goes on to say, when we talk about forgiveness, we're often greeted with howls of anger. Someone says, well, I wonder how you'd feel about forgiving the Gestapo if you were Polish or Jewish. And Lewis is very honest, says, you know, you're absolutely right. I'm not sure how I would react. But I do know one thing. The Bible talks about forgiveness. And he goes on to say, maybe the best way to learn about forgiveness and to learn how to practice it is the same way that we learn maths. Right? Some of you are really skilled mathematicians, and you know that the way that you learn mathematics is not by going to calculus. It's by starting at the basics. Starting with numbers, starting with simple addition. And Lewis says, in the same way, if we want to learn how to forgive, we had better start with something easier than the Gestapo. One might start with forgiving one's spouse, a loved one, a friend, a stranger. See, there's something, and I think you would agree, that there's something in our hearts that we instantly go to those really difficult cases. And it's normal, and the reason why we go to the difficult cases of forgiveness is because this is not a theoretical topic, forgiveness. We live in a world where really hard cases are not just case studies. This is not just theory. This is real life. It's really close to home, and maybe that's your story, that, you know, real evil has been done against you, has been committed against you. Real evil has come to you through the hands of someone. And so maybe for you, the subject of forgiveness brings maybe guilt, maybe anger, maybe confusion. So let me begin by saying that friend, we serve a God who is just and a God who is righteous. We serve a God who sees all things, knows all things, and he sees the sins and the evils that have been committed against us. And the wonderful news about the Bible and the Christian faith is that our God will not let justice go by the wayside. Our God, we believe in a God who will come again to judge the living and the dead, and we believe in a God who will come again to make a world and have his justice and righteousness and equity spread throughout the whole world. But until then, my friend, you know one really simple truth. Forgiveness is difficult in a fallen world. People sin against us. And so learning how to forgive is challenging. And so in no way am I saying that, you know, forgiveness is, it's a simple topic. Just forgive. It's simple as that. It's complex. We know the call is clear, but friend, it's complex. It's nuanced. You think about this, you know, you read past Genesis chapter 3, and I wonder if you've ever noticed this, but the way that the Bible articulates the doctrine of sin, right, Genesis chapter 3, very critical chapter, and the way that the Bible talks about the doctrine of sin is through the stories of people sinning against other people. Genesis chapter 4, Cain kills his brother Abel. Noah, Abraham, and all the patriarchs, you've read the stories, like they have dysfunctional families, people sinning against one another. The doctrine of sin, it's explained through the stories of people sinning against one another. And so forgiveness is hard. It's challenging, it's complex, it's nuanced. But it's possible with God's help. So here's what I want to do in the sermon. I want to think about the basics of forgiveness and just really give general principles from God's truth to give us a foundation for forgiveness. So let's think about three things. What forgiveness is not, what forgiveness is, and how do we practice forgiveness? So what forgiveness is not. We're in this section in the Lord's Prayer, and we're looking at the second half of the Lord's Prayer. If you remember, petitions 1 to 3, the first half, in many ways, it's focusing on the glory of God. We pray in petition 1, hallowed be your name. Petition 2, may your kingdom come. Petition 3, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's very much centered on the glory of God. And then we get to the second half of the Lord's Prayer, petitions 3 all the way to 6, and it's focusing on the good of God's children. And so we pray for our daily bread. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for our protection. And a couple of weeks ago, we said that those two things, the glory of God and the good of his people, they're not at odds. In fact, God is glorified when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And friend, you better believe that God is glorified through forgiveness. When we receive his forgiveness and when the gospel transforms us and it allows us to extend forgiveness, God is glorified. You say, what do you mean? John chapter 17. You remember that chapter? Jesus Christ, he's in the prayer closet. We call it the high priestly prayer. Jesus is praying. This is one of the most intimate, theologically packed sections of the whole Bible. There is Jesus praying to the Father. And you remember what he says? The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me even as you loved me. Do you hear the prayer of what Jesus is saying? Essentially, you know, to the extent that you and I live in harmony, in unity, we showcase God's glory. That the Lord Jesus Christ, he goes to the cross, he dies for us, he resurrects for us to unite us to himself, to unite us to one another, and to the extent that we live in unity, we showcase the glory of God. And friend, the opposite is sadly true, isn't it? That to the extent that we live in disunity, disharmony, unforgiving spirits, we live, listen, man-centered lives. Putting the glory of God under a basket. And so we need to learn how to rightly forgive for God's glory. So let's think about a few things of what forgiveness is not. So first, forgiveness does not mean denying the sin committed against you, and forgiveness does not mean downplaying the sin committed against you. Which I wonder if you realize this. This is a real temptation for well-meaning Christians, right? We say, you know, well, Jesus calls me to love my neighbor. In fact, he even calls me to love my enemy. And so maybe I just need to downplay the sin that was committed against me. Maybe I just need to deny it. Maybe I'm overreacting. You know, now that I think of it, maybe they didn't sin against me. It's not a big deal. And maybe you've experienced that. Someone has sinned against you in a real way. And maybe you say, yeah, it hurt me, but it really wasn't a big deal. Yeah, they slandered me, but it really wasn't a big deal. They spoke against me in an unkind way, but it really wasn't a big deal. Friend, no. Christian forgiveness is not excusing someone else's sin. It's not a call to deny and say, you know what, let me just downplay it. Let me just deny it. No. Here's why. Do you realize that Jesus in the Beatitudes, right there in Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, Jesus recognizes that people sin against us. He says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And do you hear that? Jesus doesn't downplay sin. He doesn't deny the sin that's committed against us. And I wonder if you realize this, that from a vertical perspective, that to receive God's forgiveness, do you realize that we need to actually acknowledge and admit our sin? I wonder if you've ever read the Westminster Confession of Faith, right? We're Presbyterians here, right? So I'm assuming that you've read the Westminster Confession of Faith. The Westminster Confession of Faith has this lovely chapter on repentance that leads to life. And there's this lovely statement in the confession that says this: we ought not to be content with a general repentance, but it is every man's duty to endeavor, here it is, to repent of his particular sins particularly. We're to repent of our particular sins particularly. Here's what that means. Christians don't just say, I'm just a generic sinner. No, friends, Christians repent of their particular sins particularly, which means we don't downplay our sin before God. We don't say, well, I'm just a sinner, you know, it's not a big deal. No, we repent of our particular sins particularly. We repent of our words, our particular words, our thoughts, our particular thoughts, our deeds, the real deeds that you and I have committed. We admit them. We name them. We acknowledge them. And friend, if that's the case with God, surely it's the same with our vertical relationships. Forgiveness is not downplaying or ignoring the sin committed against you. That's not what it means to forgive. Secondly, forgiveness is not the same as forgetting, right? This is another one of those perhaps misapplied truths of the Bible. You know, someone says, well, isn't that how God forgives us? Doesn't he forgive? Doesn't he forget? Like, is that not the blessing of the new covenant? Jeremiah 31, verse 34, this is God speaking, for I will forgive their iniquity. Amen. Hallelujah. And I will remember their sin no more. See, it's clear right there in Jeremiah, God will not remember your sin. What does that mean? Well, basic theology tells us that God knows all things, right? He knows the end from the beginning. The passage is not saying that God has cognitive difficulties and something's wrong with his memory. No, that's not what the passage is saying. When God says, I will no longer remember their sin, it means that because of Jesus, God does not relate to us on the basis of our sin. Put it simply, you're no longer under God's wrath. You're no longer an object of wrath. God is our Father through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. And you realize that's the foundation of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, this is how you ought to pray. Our judge doesn't say that. He says, our Father, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. Friend, here's the implication to our relationships. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting and living as if the sin never happened. And I wonder if you realize this, that, you know, sometimes the person who sins against you, the person who sins against us, sometimes they want us to feel shame and perhaps guilt for not forgetting. I can't believe you're still remembering that. I thought you forgot that. If you truly forgave me, you would have forgotten already. But clearly, you still remember, so clearly you have not forgiven me. I thought you were a Christian. Friends, there are situations where it's not helpful to forget the sin that was committed against you. See, sometimes the sin committed against us has left a really, really deep wound. And you realize that the only way for you to heal, the only way for you to grow is actually by talking about it. Sometimes the consequences of someone's sin against you is massive that you can forget. And so we don't hold the sin over the person. But forgiveness does not mean that we forget the wrong that has been committed against us. Which leads to the third thing. Forgiveness does not mean there are no consequences. Just think about the story of sin, again, from Genesis chapter 3. You realize, we learn a simple truth in that chapter. Sin has consequences. Sin brings relational disharmony. It brings guilt. It brings shame. It brings death. It's very clear. Sin has consequences. And yet the glorious thing about Genesis chapter 3 is we see that God, he enters into this covenant of grace. He establishes this covenant. He establishes the way of forgiveness. And yet the consequence is very clear. We live in a fallen world. It's a difficult world. It's a hard world. It's the world that you and I live in. And it's this way because sin has consequences. Now let's think about our relationships. Forgiveness is possible. But depending on the sin, real consequences come with it. So when someone sins against us in a criminal way, forgiveness is possible. But friends, judicial consequences are necessary. Those things don't go, are not at odds, right? You can forgive someone and you can still call the cops. You can forgive someone and you can still go to the authorities. If someone habitually lies to you, forgiveness is possible, but the consequences, that person, you can't trust the person. If someone keeps maybe gossiping about you, forgiveness is possible, but the consequences that there's a loss in the intimacy of the relationship. So extending forgiveness does not mean that consequences are avoided. In fact, sometimes the most loving thing that you and I can do is to pray and to make sure and to make possible that the person receives the consequences for their actions. Fourthly, forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. This is a big one, right? Because on a vertical level, God's forgiveness in Christ, it goes hand in hand with reconciliation, doesn't it? God forgives rebels through Jesus. He forgives people that break the law, that are covenant breakers. He forgives us through Jesus, and then he brings us close. He brings us in. He brings us to the table. There's reconciliation. There's forgiveness. But you realize something massively important, that in the gospel, we're sinners. God is not. God is not the perpetrator. God is not the offender. God is not the one who sins, which means that reconciliation with God is a little different than the way that humans reconcile to one another. Forgiveness does not mean immediate reconciliation. So sometimes, you know, the question is posed, like, this person has sinned against me in a really, really dark way. So does forgiveness mean that I have to invite them over for tea and coffee? No. This person is, you know, they're a danger to my life. You know, I've forgiven them, but do I have to invite them over for biscuits? No. Do I need to re-enter the relationship with the same unhealthy relational patterns? No. See, sometimes, you realize this, friends, that because we live in a fallen world, sometimes the consequences are so deep, that reconciliation is only possible in glory. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. We're called to forgive even if the person never repents, but we can't reconcile without the person showing genuine, sincere, godly repentance. So forgiveness does not mean denying, does not mean forgetting, does not mean avoiding, does not mean reconciling immediately. So what is forgiveness? Our second point. What in the world is forgiveness? Well, it's very central to the Bible, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Apostle Paul says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." Yes, this is Paul saying these words, be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted. This is the theologian of theologians, forgiving one another. Just as God in Christ forgave you. Here's the Apostle Paul again in Colossians chapter 3. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy, beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Why? As the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As Christ forgave you, the vertical, so we are to forgive the horizontal. Here's what an application of the fifth petition for us. Forgiveness, friends, it's a personal decision that we make by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. We're not told forgive, but only forgive if the other person repents. We're simply told through Jesus, through Paul, through the rest of the biblical authors, we're told forgive. That doesn't mean denying. It doesn't mean forgetting, it doesn't mean avoiding, it doesn't mean reconciling immediately, but it does mean this is a decision that we must make prayerfully and with God's help. You'll notice that Jesus' words in the petition, they're active words, aren't they? We forgive our debtors. This is a choice that we make by the power of the Holy Spirit. But friend, you realize that sin, it's complicated, isn't it? Forgiveness isn't always instant. So maybe for you, maybe you forgave someone recently, but maybe for some reason you're thinking to yourself, I've forgiven this person, but I still feel anger. And you say, why do I feel anger if I've forgiven them? And maybe, just maybe, maybe you feel that way because you forgave without actually reflecting on the sin committed against you. You didn't stop to reflect that someone actually sinned against you in a real way. And in fact, you just forgave because maybe for you, you felt this need of out of shame and out of guilt. I know Christians should forgive, and so I'll just forgive you. Because I know that's what Christians do. I know that's what we're called to do, and it is. But you didn't stop to reflect on the real sin committed against you. Forgiveness requires us to acknowledge the real debt, the real sin committed against you before we extend forgiveness, which is why this is a process, my friends. It's hard to do. It's a process. And it's not always instant. See, sometimes forgiveness requires us to relive really difficult moments in our lives. Moments in our lives that maybe you're trying to hide, you're trying to forget, maybe you're trying to theologize about it. Maybe you use theology, maybe you use biblical knowledge to deny the real hurt that was committed against you. And maybe you need God's help, and we all do, don't we? We need God's help to work through and to slowly make the decision to forgive, because it's hard acknowledging some of the painful things that have happened to you. And it's the reason why one of the best ways that you can allow the body of Christ to help you is to find a really good Christian counselor. A Christian counselor who loves God's word, a Christian counselor who's able to walk with you and help you process the ways that people have sinned against you. Forgiveness, friends, it's a decision, and it's an active decision, and someone says, well, it's an active decision to do what? Listen to Paul's word in Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. That's an active decision. I'm not going to repay evil for evil. I'm not going to be enslaved to bitterness. I'm not going to feed bitterness or nurse resentment. I'm not going to do that. And notice what I'm not saying. I'm not saying, well, it's a decision to avoid seeking justice. It's a decision to avoid, coming to grips with the reality that somebody sinned against you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's a decision to not let the sin that was committed against you propel you to sin against another person. Which, friend, do you realize that this is the creativity of the human fallen heart? That is our natural desire. When somebody sins against you, when somebody sins against me, my natural desire is to say, I want them to feel the pain that I have just felt. I want them to feel the humiliation that person just caused me. I want them to feel humiliated as well. I want them to feel the wounds that person has left me. We want them to experience the pain and the discomfort. That is the natural fallen human heart. And friend, the person who does not forgive is enslaved to bitterness, to vengeance, controlled by anger. And yet this is the Lord Jesus giving us this simple and yet life-transforming petition, reminding us that forgiveness is a freeing decision to not repay evil for evil, to not let bitterness fester, but to entrust that God will uphold his justice. So how do we do this? How do we practice forgiveness? This is the last point. How do we practice it? Well, we need to realize this is challenging. It's complex. It's nuanced. But we can't miss Jesus' calling here. We must learn to forgive. And perhaps the best way for us to learn how to forgive is to listen to that old hymn. The old hymn that reminds us to take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Here is Jesus teaching us how to pray. Here is your king. Here is your priest. Here is your great prophet teaching you how to pray. As we forgive our debtors. And my friend, would you agree with me that the Lord Jesus, the king and the priest and the great prophet, that he is uniquely qualified to teach us about forgiveness. Here is our Savior teaching us how to pray, teaching us how to forgive. Here is the Savior who took our real sin, who took our real burden on Calvary. He took our debt. He took God's wrath. He forgave people who sinned against him. And when you receive this vertical forgiveness, when you receive forgiveness through the gospel, friend, it leads to a lifestyle that extends to forgiveness to others through prayer and through the Spirit's help. See, the answer is always the hope of the gospel. Always the hope of the gospel. The gospel doesn't just show us how to forgive. Did you realize that the gospel empowers you to forgive? It gives you the resources to forgive. Forgiveness, friend, it's complex, but listen, if we say, I can never forgive, I can't forgive that person, I will never forgive that person. If we say that, then you realize what you're saying. Your heart and my heart is saying, in God's sight, that person's sin is greater than my sin. We're saying, I deserve to be forgiven, but that person who sinned against me does not deserve to be forgiven. And that means that we're living with a very small view of God's holiness. A very small view of our own sin. And a very small view of the cross of Jesus. Do you realize this, friend, that the cross of the Lord Jesus, it confronts you, doesn't it? It confronts you with your sin debt. With your guilt, with your brokenness, with your offenses. And yet the wonderful news of the Christian faith and the wonderful news of the gospel is that that same cross that confronts you is the cross that comforts you with the forgiveness that is given through Jesus, the Savior who hung on the cross, holding your debt, your sin, your rebellion, your brokenness, your guilt. God forgave our sin debt in Jesus, which is greater than the sin that anyone has ever committed against us. That's not to downplay the real sins committed against you and the real sins committed against me. But the provocative thing about the Christian faith and the gospel is that the greatest sin ever committed is the sin that you and I commit of cosmic treason, of idolatry, of turning away from the Lord of glory to other things. And here's where we need to see the Lord Jesus. Here's why we need the gospel. Jesus needs to work in the work of Jesus, what he did on the cross, it needs to grow in our minds and in our hearts so that we're willing and we have the Spirit's power to help us to grow in forgiveness and to extend forgiveness to other people. See, if God forgave the massive offense of our sin against him, how could we not desire to want to grow in forgiveness, to want to learn how to forgive? It takes time, it's complex, it's nuanced, but the heart of one who has received divine vertical forgiveness, well, it's seen in the person that desires to grow in forgiveness. We learn to forgive, friends. Just remember C.S. Lewis, what did he say? How do you learn? Well, it's the same way that you learn mathematics. You learn with the basics. So how do we learn forgiveness? You start with the basics. You start by going to Jesus. You keep going to Jesus. And you start by praying the fifth petition. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Lord, you have forgiven all of my sins. And I need your help in extending forgiveness to other people. So let's go before the Lord and ask for his help. Our Heavenly Father, we know that this topic of forgiveness is very complex. And we know that your word is filled with so many examples and exhortations and commandments to extend the forgiveness that we have received in Jesus Christ. And so we're coming before you as children who are weak, weary, confused. And we're coming to you as children with childlike faith and saying, we need help. Help us to forgive. Help us to learn forgiveness. Help us to meditate on the cross, on divine forgiveness, and help us to apply that to other people. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.